Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, thank you very much for joining us. It's a pleasure to be with you, as always. It's 12 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And I'm excited about having Hamilton Beasley back on the show. Hamilton's one of our good friends, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is the co-author of a book called Continuity Management, which is an outstanding book we've talked about on the show before. He's got a brand spanking new book that's almost out. It's actually, you can order it on Amazon, but it's going to be launched officially. In bookstores the first of the year. But we're launching it on this show right now. His name is Dr. Hamilton Beasley. The new book is called No Regrets. Hamilton, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
It's good to have you back, as always. Hamilton, one of the things, when I saw your book, I got really excited because this concept of no regrets, which is the title of the book, is something that's really important for small business owners because we don't have time for baggage. We all have baggage. We all have regrets. We all have, if you live your life, you're going to do some things that you wish you hadn't done or wish you'd done differently, and I certainly have got my share of those things. But once those things are gone, it's baggage. And for small business owners, baggage is unproductive. And we don't need any unproductive things in our lives, do we?
We sure don't.
And I know that obviously nobody does. Nobody needs unproductive things. But my focus, as you know, is small business, and we've got to figure out how to jettison this baggage, this unproductive baggage in the form of these regrets. Talk to us a little bit about why you think that this is important for everybody.
It's important for everyone. It's especially important, I think, for small business owners. Regret actually comes from the Middle English word regret, but with an E on it. That means to lament or to feel sorry, and from an Old English word meaning to weep. Mm-hmm. So a regret is something basically that's happened to us that we wish had not happened to us, and that interferes with our life in the present moment. We regret quite naturally. Regrets arise from unfulfilled expectations, from shattered hopes and dreams, from failures, tragedies, mistakes, and misjudgments. They're woven into the fabric of life. Regrets are inevitable, but holding on to them is not inevitable. That's a choice we make. Unfortunately, many people don't know how to let go of really burdensome regrets, and that's what this book is about.
Here are seven categories, and I really, you've come up with some outstanding lists of things here that because some of us might be saying, well, you know, I think I thought I had some regrets, but I don't know what they are. But here's some categories of regrets. Number one is things that you did that you wish you hadn't, things that you didn't do that you wish you had, and acts that others committed and you wish that they hadn't. And acts that others didn't commit, but you wish that they had. Acts of fate or circumstances, which I want to talk about in a minute. Inevitable losses, things that you regret. And comparisons that lead you to regret. And those are all things. And you know what? Every single one of those things that I just read can happen to a small business owner in any given day in their life.
That's right. And I think especially the comparisons. Because it's very easy to compare, to fall victim to incomplete comparisons in which we compare ourselves to people we know or have read about, or businesses we know or have read about, and decide that they've done so much better than we, or we compare our life and accomplishments to impossible standards or the standards we've set for ourselves or someone else has set, or we compare our present state of the business to the dreams we had for ourselves. And when we make such comparisons, we fall into regret, which paralyzes us or impairs our ability.
Well, and really there's also in the middle of that is sometimes we stir in a little helping of envy.
That's right.
And that's an ugly one. That's a real ugly one there.
Yes, it's counterproductive. It doesn't add any value to what we're trying to do.
One of the things, Hamilton, that I think small business owners do that is unfortunate, and that's that we regret the failures that we have experienced, whether that be something we did, something somebody else did to us, or something, as you say in here, fate that just happened. We regret those things, and sometimes we dwell on them so long that the failure becomes the regret part of it, the dwelling on it, becomes more destructive than the actual failure was.
Well, that's right, because regretting the inability to let go of a regret in business means the inability to innovate, to make risky decisions when they're potentially big payoffs that would justify them. Mm-hmm. It reduces bold steps as well because of the fear of failure, because we know that if we fail, we can't stand it and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, our anxiety goes up around decision-making. It reduces our decisiveness. It reduces the likelihood of making any decision at all or postponing decisions. And you just can't do that in a rapidly changing world like small businessmen and women find themselves today.
So you're saying that the chance we took yesterday, so to speak, that didn't turn out well, if we dwell on that so much, we won't be poised to take the next chance, the next risk.
No, because regretting is basically punishing yourself.
Say that again.
Well, regretting is basically punishing yourself. And if you've made a bad decision and you regret it, then you're punishing yourself for a bad decision. And the more you punish yourself, the less likely you are ever to make another decision that involves risk.
It's sort of like Pavlov's theory. You know, once you get shocked, you don't want to go there anymore.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is that, and I'm going to say, folks, I know I've said this 1,000 times before. I'm going to say it again. I think it was Thomas Edison who said, failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
That is so right, Jim. You know, the book describes a 10-step program for getting over regrets, for letting them go and living richly in the present. And one of those steps is to identify the lessons and gifts of your regret.
Hamilton, I want to talk about these lessons. Stand by, because when we come back, I want to do that. I want to talk about those 10 steps, and we'll do that right after these messages with our good friend, Dr. Hamilton Beasley, the author of the brand new book that we're launching today, No Regrets. Don't forget it. You can all go ahead and order it at Amazon right now. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 23 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Hamilton Beasley is our guest. He's the author of the brand spanking new book, No Regrets. And, folks, I just encourage you so much to check this book out, because I really think it's going to help you balance your life, your business, and your family. I really think it will. I think it'll help you become more productive. I've got a copy of it in my hand. I actually have an advanced copy. It's called No Regrets, a 10-step program for living in the present and leaving the past behind. And Hamilton, again, congratulations. And I know they can go ahead and order it at Amazon right now, can't they? Even though it's not out in bookstores, they can go ahead and place their order now, can't they?
Yes, that's correct.
And it's called No Regrets. The author is Hamilton Beasley, and his last name is spelled B-E-A-Z-L-E-Y, Beasley with a Z. Hamilton is the first name. Okay, let's talk about the 10 steps, Hamilton. Let's get through as many as we can.
Sure. These steps are simply outline the process by which someone lets go of a regret, comes to terms with it, and profits from it. They're intuitive for some people, but for most people they're really not, and they require some effort. The first step is simply to list the regrets. You have to be aware of the problem before you can solve it. The second is
to... So wait a minute, you want me to write these down?
Absolutely.
These things that are so painful to me, you want me to write them down? So you want me to confront my regrets?
That's right, because you're confronting them every day anyway, even if only through denying them and refusing to look at them, which is more painful than actually.
So they're sort of in orbit around us here, and every time some particular thing happens, it triggers one of them to come down and zap us.
That's right.
But if we put it on paper, then we can sort of deal with them a little more effectively.
That's correct.
Huh.
It's like a toothache. It hurts whether you accept that or not.
Right. You know, there's an old book that was probably written, I guess, 25 years ago or 20-something years ago by William Leestheat Moon, William Trogdon, called Blue Highways. You ever read that book?
No, I never have.
It's a great book, and his grandfather was an Indian chief and a Cherokee, as I remember, and maybe not, but anyway, from Oklahoma. And his grandfather said, some things don't have to be remembered. They remember themselves. Isn't
that's
that great?
Wonderful.
Yeah,
that
and that's
really
what
is.
That's what regrets do, don't they? They remember themselves.
That's right. And we'll always remember our regrets. The difference is that we can neutralize them so they don't hurt us in the present.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
All right, number two.
The second one is to examine the regret. And that's to look at the causes of it and what we regret about it, the pain that it causes us, the shame, the guilt we feel. Let's just look at that regret so we can see this whole thing of it that we want to let go.
And maybe written down and examined, it kind of gets deflated a little bit, huh?
That's right, because it constrains it. That process controls our imagination, so it won't seem quite as horrible once it's written down on paper. Very
good
insight.
You know how sometimes when you say a word over and over and over again, it starts sounding dumb? Maybe if we say our regrets over and over again, we'll start realizing how dumb they are. What do you think?
Well, they're certainly counterproductive, and there's new evidence to suggest that they're very bad for our health as well.
Right. All right, what about number three?
Well, three is a step called changing toxic thought patterns. And this is the way in which we begin to look at some of the thought patterns that help us hold on to our regrets that really work very much against us. And a couple of examples might be, the first one would be perfectionism. Perfectionism is a serious problem because it means that we'll always fail.
And I'd like to point out, Hamilton, that seeking excellence is not the same thing as perfectionism.
That is so right.
We have to be careful about that. We have to be careful about that because I've been called a perfectionist, and I don't think I am because I do eventually say, well, okay, this is as good as we can do. Let's go with it. A perfectionist is never going to let something go. They'll actually become unproductive because of that. But I like to think that I'm seeking excellence. Although I have to admit that, you know, there may be sometimes when those people who call me a perfectionist might be right.
Well, perfectionism is not possible. Excellence is.
Mm-hmm. Well
that's
said.
The difference.
Well
and
said.
we should aim for excellence, not perfection. It isn't achievable, and the cost is too high if it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's next?
Another one that often creates a problem is extreme thinking. This is also called black and white or all or nothing thinking. This is when we fall into the trap of saying, if I can't get this done, all is lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying if you're 40 years old and you didn't go to college and you now realize you need to, it's the thought process that says, it's too late, I can't do it anymore.
And you're ensuring failure then, aren't you?
Absolutely guaranteeing.
Or at least that you're ensuring the fact that the fact that you're not going to perform, you're not going to accomplish anything.
You've taken out a failure warranty on your life.
These toxic thoughts. I like the way you use that word because that's a very dramatic and graphic word that we need to talk. We need to realize when we're being toxic, don't we? When we're behaving that way to ourselves, don't we?
Yes, that's the idea, is to look at these, get an idea of what these patterns are and then try to find them in our own lives, because they impair our decision-making and the quality of our lives.
Hamilton, we're going to have to wrap it up because we're coming up on the end of our visit. But will you come back again? We've got a lot more to talk about this. I think this is these are some things that we can benefit. And I know it'll benefit me, and I think it'll benefit our audience. Will you come back another day?
I'd love to. It's a real pleasure. I always enjoy being with you, Jim. Thanks for all you've done for small business people in America.
Thank you. Hamilton Beasley, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called No Regrets. Check it out on Amazon right now. It's in bookstores first of the year. 29 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.